Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory in all things.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your path through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
First reading, a reading from the first book of Kings. Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu on Nimshi king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elijah son of Shaphat of Abel Mehalah as prophet in your palace." Also, he set out from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen on after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen and boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became the servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all others."
All my eyes of life and God's life that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out the offerings to such gods, nor take their names upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My bond are you enclosed a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have said to the Lord always before me, because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to pray, or let your Holy One
be dead. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now,
and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading, a reading from Paul's letter to Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves then to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. However, you bite and devour one another. Take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live in the Spirit. Say and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. What the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Contrast the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh, passions, and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we're beginning a rather long section of Luke's Gospel called the Journey Narrative. Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem, and we'll read this story from Luke's Gospel in little snippets all through the summer and into the fall, as Jesus meanders his way through these chapters telling stories. We get most of our parables from this section of Luke's Gospel, and working miracles We're often reminded by Jesus' very words and his determination that he is going to Jerusalem. And we know that in Jerusalem is where Jesus meets the cross. He has a resolve and a determination that keeps him focused on the purpose of his journey, even as that journey has twists and turns along the way. Last weekend, my brother and sister-in-law were here from South Dakota visiting. Maybe you met them at the street fair or at Sunday service. They were staying in a hotel over on Shelter Island. And on Friday, we were going to go out for dinner, but because Don didn't feel like going anywhere, my brother said, well, we'll just pick up a pizza and come over. And I said, great. Do you want some suggestion about where you could find a good pizza? No, he said, I don't need, but I can take care of that. And I said, I'll give you directions on how to get to our house, because he's only been there once and it was a couple years ago. So he said, no, I've got this GPS system and it's great. He said, I don't have any problems. In fact, you just say a word into it and it directs you. So he didn't need my help. After all, he's the big brother. So he doesn't need help from little sister. He just said, pizza. And it gave directions, turn by turn directions from his hotel, right into downtown traffic at 5 o'clock on Friday night. All the way, pulled up right in front of a pizza place that was a little kiosk selling those little personal size lunch pizzas. Well, this isn't going to work, my sister-in-law said. So they called us and said, we're on our way. Don't worry. We'll get there. And again, they got back into traffic, and they're looking now. We'll see a place, you know. You'll see a Domino's or a Pizza Hut or something along the way. Well, they ended up at Extreme Pizza on Midway. And Greg called again, because this time his call was because his phone knows where he is and it can tell you how to get to where you're calling. So I said, do you want directions from Midway, you know, to our house? No, it's two turns. And he said, no, I got it. Okay. So he hung up the phone and drove without missing a turn right from Midway, right, and pulled up right in front of Patty's Cleaning House. Because remember, Don and I lived at Patty's for a couple months when we first moved here, and Grace had never changed the address from our phone number. So, again, one more phone call. Finally, they arrived at our house. We gave them a warm welcome, and they gave us hope. Sometimes, even having the best directions aren't enough. I thought this was a great story. A true story. Diane asked why I didn't tell it last week, and my brother was here. Because my brother was here, he might have a story or two to tell about me that I would rather not that couple. I don't mind speaking his story publicly. With all those navigational devices, you can still get lost. Gospel today encourages a closer follow and warns against fractions. And words against misreading the signposts and the guidelines. This part of the journey narrative tells about three would-be disciples who wanted to follow Jesus, but had trouble leaving home and all the responsibilities at home. The first one is enthusiastic. I will follow you wherever you go. Now we know where Jesus is going. I wonder if that would-be disciple, if he knew where Jesus was going, would he then have been so enthusiastic? Jesus had thought. Jesus says to him, the pleasures and the comforts of this world can't be your goal or even your concern. Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. A couple weeks ago, our visitors of that week
arrived at our house, a family of four, each one with their own pillow under their arm. The comforts of home have to come along. Jesus says, if you're so worried about the comforts of home, it doesn't matter if you're so worried. But if we're so worried about being comfortable ourselves, we're not going to be the disciples of Jesus. There's a book by Michael Foss called Power Theory. He's talking about grabbing hold of the power that's available in Christian community and putting that power to work for the good of the people. And he said, what would your congregation look like if you had this power? There are six marks of discipleship. I talked about these before. What would it be like if all of our council members, all of our committee members, indeed the whole congregation, had these six marks of discipleship in their life? Pray daily. Worship every weekend. Read the Bible regularly. Develop spiritual relationships so that you are accountable to one another. Offer service in the community and congregation and beyond. And the sixth mark, give generously of your finance, time. What would this congregation look like if all of the members grabbed hold of that power discipleship? Or are we too accustomed to our own? The challenge is even steeper for those next week followers of Jesus. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And the next one, I would follow, Lord, but first let me go home and say goodbye. Don't at my home. In those situations, and in so many situations in our own lives, we answer God's invitation, yes. I will, but first, let me pay off my goals, or get a better job, or get the house clean, or do my grocery shopping, or whatever. Yes, I will pray, or the Bible, or attend worship, but first, I have that, but first. Those who come to Jesus, meanwhile, those who wanted to follow seem to be telling Jesus, in order to go your way, I have to give up my way. And in a sense, that's true. But this kind of thinking seems to make it like there's two separate journeys. If we compartmentalize our spiritual life from our regular life, and we'll never get started on our journey of teaching. If we wait until everything else in our life is in order, everything is finished and in perfect spot, as soon as this is done, then I can do whatever. We will never get started on our journey of teaching. I wonder what would have been if those people would have responded to Jesus, I will follow you, and I will bury my father. I will follow you, and I will go home and tell those I love about my journey. Both and, rather than either or. That's what journey with Jesus, that's what kingdom travel is. It's living our lives and following Jesus. It's not an either or. Jesus' destination is Jerusalem and the cross. That has to be our destination too, if we would follow the Peter. Our journey in the kingdom is one of service to others. We're journeying along this road being of service to others. That's where the reading from Galatians connects to the other reading. This is a great prayer on Christian freedom. One needs to be free from the constraints if one is going to follow Jesus. If our relationship with Jesus is to be strong, we have to be free from those other things that hold us down. Paul gives this great list of things that bind people, that hold them captive. And all of those things that he mentions are personal concerns, self-centered situations, things of the flesh. And Paul says, in Jesus, we need to be, we are free from those. We don't have to be down to those because our focus is not on ourselves, but our focus is on others. Our focus is on Christ. And in that, there is a liberation. We are free from it because we focus on others. Paul says that this new freedom in Jesus is not only a liberation from the law, it's a freedom for a new service of love. And all those negatives of the law, thou shalt not, are all summed up in one positive. Love your neighbor as yourself. If that was your motto, what would your daily life look like? If before you did anything, you said, love your neighbor as yourself, does this action, word, comments that you made back to somebody, if we would kind of check ourselves against love your neighbor as yourself with everything you did and everything you said, that's the freedom that Paul is talking. That's the direction, the guidepost that will get us to our destiny, to our heavenly head. If we're led by that Spirit of Christ, we will avoid those works of the flesh that focus on our desires because they are so focused on the needs of others. If we're led by the Spirit of Christ, we are free to be good. We are free for others. We follow those signposts and roadmarks, we won't go far. This is where the new life in Christ ties in to following Jesus. The experience of freedom in Christ that frees us from other attachments that hinder our progress on that journey. Once we set out to follow Jesus, once we live out our baptism in Christ, there's only one way forward, only one way to our new home, to that holy place, movement to our heavenly home. Our faces, too, are set for Jesus. Our faces are set for loving others.